Habsburg Empire, also known maybe as the Austrian Empire. We're going to look at the rise of Austria. The rule, that's the family crest there on the right-hand side. But the ruler of Austria was traditionally selected as Holy Roman Emperor. We know that from what we've studied. After the War of Spanish Succession in 1701-13 and the Treaty of Utrecht, 1713, the Spanish throne is going to be occupied by Bourbons. Remember, the grandson of Louis XIV is going to be on the throne in Spain, not a Habsburg. So the Habsburg power is going to be concentrated in Austria. The Spanish Habsburgs had kind of melted down in genetic deficiency, as we've seen. So Habsburg power will be concentrated in Austria. And I just want to show you here on this map where Austria is with my arrow. Look at the red arrow. You can see that Austria is there. I mean, they're going to have a lot of stuff. The Austrian Empire is going to include Naples, which you can see down at the bottom part of Italy. Sardinia, which you can see is the island. If you go from Italy to the left, there's an island out there called Sardinia. You'll have Milan, and you'll have in Italy. That'll also be part of the Austrian Habsburg Empire. They'll also have the Austrian Netherlands, which kind of, if you look above my red arrow, that green up there, that's the Austrian Netherlands, what we would call Belgium today. And eventually they'll have Hungary and Transylvania. And if you look real close on the map, you can see where on the far right, the green, it says Transylvania. That's where modern-day Romania is today. And then Hungary right near there. So after the 30 Years' War, the Habsburgs are pretty much impoverished. They're exhausted. They had failed to make the Holy Roman Empire a unified state, and now they turn inward and eastward to start building this unified state they'd always dreamed of. So here's actually a list of the places. The Austrian Habsburg Empire included Naples, Sardinia, Milan, the Austrian Netherlands, Hungary, and Transylvania, which is in modern-day Romania. The ineffective Habsburg rule in the Holy Roman Empire, when they tried to unify the whole thing, forces the monarchs to turn their attention inward on what they already have and eastward to start to consolidate their diverse holdings that they have personally into a strong unified state. And they start by reorganizing Bohemia. And that's going to be a major step on the way to absolutism for the Habsburg leaders. The Habsburg army, basically what happens, this is in the Czech Republic today, but the Czech or Bohemian nobility is going to be wiped out during that Bohemian phase of the 30 Years' War. And what the Habsburg army is going to end up doing is they're going to crush the Protestant nobility at the Battle of White Mountain. They're going to take the land away from this Protestant nobility, and then Ferdinand II, 1619 to 1637, is going to redistribute that land to aristocratic soldiers from all over Europe that have served the Habsburgs, and he's going to give it to a Catholic nobility that's loyal to the Habsburg family. So post 1650, the Bohemian nobility owe everything to the Habsburgs. The reason the nobility in Bohemia is going to be nobility is going to be because of the Habsburgs. So this is how they start to reorganize Bohemia so that they are in control here. And of course, during all that, the condition of the serfs is going to decline in Bohemia also. The old hereditary provinces of Austria proper, the one Austria, Styria, and Tyrol, are going to be centralized by Ferdinand III, and that's 1637 to 1657. Ferdinand's going to create a permanent standing army, which is actually unprecedented for the Habsburg Empire, not just to protect them from the outside, but to put down uprisings on the inside. Hungary will be the third largest part of its dominion. So you've got Bohemia, you've got Austria, and you've got Hungary, which are big parts of this Habsburg Empire. I don't know if I was doing an acronym. I guess it's BAH, B-A-H, here. The So here's a map where you can kind of take a look at what it is that we're talking about here. But you can see where Bohemia is. You see where Austria, Tyrol, and Styria are. And they start really focusing in on those areas during the time period of Ferdinand III, which is 1637 to 1657. Also, really locking in on Hungary, which is there also, as you go through the 17th century. That area, of course, was often fought over by the Ottoman Turks. You can see where the Ottoman Empire is there right below Hungary. And the Ottoman Empire would come up into the Balkans and then want to come up into Hungary, go all the way up to Vienna, we've seen, where they try for one last time in 1683. But the Turks tried that in 1683. They tried to take over Vienna, but they were forced to retreat after a couple months' siege of Vienna. And that retreat became a rout as the Russians started to attack the Ottomans and the Venetians started to attack the Ottomans. And what the Habsburgs did is took the opportunity then to conquer Hungary and Transylvania, which is in today's present-day Romania. So the point is the Austrian Empire or the Habsburg Empire, they start locking down Bohemia, Austria, and Hungary during the 17th century. Now the government... I mean, during that whole time, of course, serfdom is intensified in these Habsburg lands. But the government of the Austrian Empire, Austria is not a national state. It's really a multinational empire. It's not a national state like we're used to, like France. This is a multinational empire that included Austria proper, but in Austria, you've got Germans, you've got Italians. It included Bohemia, which had Czechs, and then it included Hungary, which had Hungarians, Serbs, Croats, Romanians. So this Austria is a multinational empire, and no single constitutional system or no single administration existed in the empire, as each region had a different legal relationship to the Habsburg emperor. So that's how the government is run under the Austrian Habsburgs. Now, some important Habsburg rulers. You've got Ferdinand II. He's the one we've talked about who took control of Bohemia during the Thirty Years' War. So this is Ferdinand II, 1619 to 1637. You also have, this one's Ferdinand III from 1637 to 57. He'll centralize the government in the old hereditary provinces of Austria proper, which we were just talking about, in Bohemia, Austria, and then on into Hungary. And then you've got Leopold I, 1658 to 1705, will come in and severely restrict Protestant worship. And he's there during the siege of Vienna and will successfully repel the Turks from the gates of Vienna in 1683, which was the Ottoman Empire's last attempt to try to move into Central Europe. Now, I don't have pictured here, but there's another emperor, Charles VI, from 1711 to 1740, and your book mentions that he issued the Pragmatic Sanction. And the Pragmatic Sanction in 1713 said that Habsburg possessions were never to be divided and forever to be passed intact to a single heir. And so later, after 17, they're saying, we will never divide our land up. All the Austrian Habsburg lands will go to one single heir, never to be divided. And it's going to be his daughter, Maria Theresa, who we're going to study later as one of the enlightened despots who's going to inherit Charles VI's empire in 1740. And she'll rule for 40 years till 1780. So we'll be looking at that later. But I just want you to see this progression that's happening here in Austria.